3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Phoenix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And we're back. Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast back. Gary Hill with you. Thanks for being here once again after the off day yesterday. Morning baseball for the Mariners yesterday in Baltimore. So the podcast was off for a day, but here we are, the last day of the week to get you ready for Felix Day. Always a good day when Felix Hernandez, the King, is on the mound. I'm going to share a couple of numbers real quick that I find pretty remarkable when it comes to the King. So we'll talk about that as he takes on the Toronto Blue Jays, the first of three against the Jays, and the return of Felix Hernandez to Toronto. We'll talk about that in a second. We have two games to go over quickly. A win a couple days ago where Renas Elias was simply outstanding. We'll talk about that start. Also, Rick Waits is going to be by. I love when Rick Waits talks pitching, and he's going to talk a lot about Elias, what he has seen so far. Elias has been awfully impressive, so that will come up as well. We'll also meet the newest Mariner, Wellington Castillo. Shannon Dreher caught up with the new Mariners catcher. That's a great conversation coming up. And one I've been meaning to get to since Boston was in town, Aaron Goldsmith chatted with Charlie Frobisch. I love conversations like this because he talks about, you know, Charlie Frobisch goes into a series and he kind of knows who he's going to see in general. Like, Mariners playing Boston, he knows at some point he's going to match up with David Ortiz. So he talks a little mindset with him, what it's like to go against someone like David Ortiz. And then the other part, the thing about pitching that I find fascinating is how guys can change, how guys can reinvent themselves, how guys can come up with new pitches, add to their arsenal, subtract from their arsenal, you know, that sort of thing. Just kind of develop and change over time. And Charlie Frobisch talks about where he came up with his sweeping slider, which I think is a pretty great story considering he came up with it on his couch. So that comes up as well. So a lot to get to, but let's talk about the baseball games. The last two games of the Baltimore series, the night game a couple of nights ago, Renas Elias on the hill, and he was certainly the story as he pitched really well.
The 1-2 offer. Strike three called with a breaking ball. Davis called looking. That is strikeout number three for Elias. Chris Davis not too happy, but it's a 1-2-3 bottom of the fourth inning.
Yeah, 1-2-3 in the fourth inning. He just kept hanging zeros and got enough support offensively. His battery mate chipping in.
The 0-2 pitch, swing and a fly ball into the gap in right center field. Well hit. On the run is Jones. Won't get to it. It's on the track and off the wall and a hop. Ruggiano running third. He'll score. Zunino in its second with a two-out. RBI double to the Mariners have the lead. 1-0. And Mike Zunino comes through in the clutch with two strikes and two outs. Drives it way back into right center field.
And you heard Ruggiano's name there. He had a big day for the M's getting the start. He added two more on a big blast.
2-2 pitch. The Ruggiano swing and a fly ball deep to left center field. Pierce going back, looking up. Goodbye, baseball. Into the bleachers, Justin Ruggiano with his second home run of the season. It comes with Cruz aboard. And it's now the Mariners 3 and the Orioles nothing here in the top of the fourth inning. He got it all.
Yeah, at that point, 3-0 Mariners, and Elias was making it stand.
A 1-2 pitch to Paredes. Over the top, curveball, see you later, swung on and missed. Oh, he is on fire. 4 Ks tonight for Elias. He's retired the last 10 men that he's faced. He's thrown 2-hit shutout, ball through 6.
Yeah, Elias, he ends up going 7 2/3, 6 hits, 1 run, no walks, and 4 strikeouts. Left-hander in that park against a very good hitting team. That is not an easy task, but he got it done in a big way, all on 96 pitches. Outstanding. Fernando Rodney comes in. He closes it down.
The stretch and the 0-1 swing and a one-hopper to Cano at second. He's got it. The throw to first and the ball game is over. The Mariners win it 4-2 over the Orioles tonight here in Baltimore. Fernando Rodney shoots that arrow into the night sky here in downtown Baltimore. Holy smokes, the Mariners hang on and win this one, a final of 4-2.
Ronis Elias' last two starts, 7 2/3, one earned against Baltimore, 6 1/3, one earned against Boston. And he has really solidified this rotation since joining in late April. He's pitched great. He's exactly what the rotation needed. And it was fascinating to see how he went about it against Baltimore. It reminded me of his start last year against Detroit when he went the distance, and he used that changeup quite a bit, and the changeup was dominant against Baltimore. Here's Mike Zunino talking about it.
I think he threw a great changeup tonight. I mean, I thought his fastball was great, but he threw his changeup whenever he needed to and got out of trouble with it. And I think if he can build on that, I mean, he's been having great starts consecutive now, and you can really see him taking some steps forward.
Changeup is not a pitch that we talk about him with a lot. It was the curveball early, fastball is important. How important is this changeup for him?
I mean, I think it may be his most important pitch. He can throw it. He can throw it right on to righties and left on left. And I mean, when he has it working today down in the zone, he got a lot of ground balls and a lot of swings and misses on it.
To see him get through as much of the game as he did, that's big for you too, I know.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is consistency. And you mean we've gotten that for the most part from our starters. And as long as we can keep building on that, that's going to be the key.
And that pitch can often be the separator with him. When it's on, he is really tough, and he threw it a lot. He only threw 11 curveballs in the game against Baltimore, a pitch that we've seen over time has been a great pitch for him. He threw 47 fastballs, 33 changeups. It was working. 70% strikes, so 23 of 33 were strikes. He got 19 swings on his changeup and 7 swings and misses. I mean, great stuff there on the changeup from Morenas Elias. He really had it working. That was the key pitch. As he pitched great. Here he was after the ball game talking about his outing.
Everything went well.
Felt real well, real good.
Ever since he was in the bullpen, he knew it was going to be a good outing because he felt real good.
Looked like you had some bounce out there, that you knew you had
good stuff.
He had a good changeup today.
He hardly threw any curveballs today.
He had a good command on his fastball.
How important is that changeup?
Cuánto es importante para tener el cambio tuyo.
Bueno, importantísimo para mí en este momento.
Very important at this time.
En el año pasado,
last year,
tuve mucho problema con
el cambio. With this changeup.
Este año gracias a trabajar en eso y
this year, he worked
la cosa me está saliendo bien.
And everything's coming out good.
What's the difference? What did you do?
¿Qué es la diferencia que lo que decía?
Que el año pasado tiraba el cambio demasiado duro.
He threw his changeup too hard last year, and this year he's throwing it. Let the grip work.
Very interesting stuff. Talking about the changeup, that is a pitch to watch with him moving forward. And when it's on, he is awfully tough, and he was against Baltimore. So the series was split going into yesterday. The Mariners a chance to take the series against Baltimore. But this game turned out to be a frustrating ball game in more ways than one. One, a grand slam off to Jay Happ, who's been excellent himself in the first inning. So Baltimore ran out to a 4-0 lead. The Mariners did get one back in the second inning almost right away. As Wellington Castillo would drive in his first run as a Mariner, he also picked up his first hit as a Mariner in the ballgame.
Runner goes, swing, and a fly ball into shallow left field, and that's in there for a base hit. Seager down to second. He was moving with the pitch. Up of the ball is Diaza in left field. So Wellington Castillo with his first hit as a Seattle Mariner already has an RBI.
So there it is, an RBI, a base hit. We're going to meet Wellington Castillo in just a few minutes here. Shannon Dreher had a chance to chat with him. But after just 2.5 innings, the rains came in a 2-plus hour rain delay, and that knocked the starters out of this one. Chris Tillman goes 3 for Baltimore, gives up a run. Happ goes 2, gives up 4 runs, and that puts some stress on the bullpen, although for the most part, the bullpen was excellent. Tom Wilhelmsen came in, 2 clean innings, was outstanding, fanning 3 low. Bimal as well, striking out the side at one point, goes an inning in a third. Furbush gets an out as well. So the bullpen holding things together after the four-run first inning by Baltimore and gave the Mariners a chance to crawl back, including Ricky Weeks, an outstanding at-bat in the fourth inning, and he drove in a couple.
And again the 3-2, swinging a ground ball up the middle into center field for a hit. Here comes Seager on to score. Castillo running third. He will score. Around to third goes Chris Taylor. Ricky Weeks coming through with a two-out, two-run single. It's a one-run ball game. It's now the Orioles 4 and the Mariners 3, and what an at-bat, a two-run single for Ricky Weeks.
Outstanding AB. So at that point, the Mariners back to within one. Next inning, though, this ended up being a huge play in the ball game, and just you look at how this game unfolded, and it really cost the M's.
There goes Cano, pitch on the way, strike three called, and a throw down to second and out at second base is Cano, and Seager tossed his bat away, and he can't believe it was a called strike three. A strike him out, throw him out, double play, and now Kyle Seager has just been thrown out of the ball game. Holy smokes, and now Lloyd McLennan racing out to have a talk with John Timpani.
And that would be huge for the M's, because with Seager out of the ballgame, Willie Bloomquist would come up in a couple of giant spots. And we'll talk about it here in a second. But RISP, runners in scoring position, cost the M's, especially late stages in the ballgame, plenty of opportunities. Although they did come back and tie it, this was an excellent AB from Logan Morrison.
Here we go, three balls, two strikes, two outs, one run game, 3-2 Pizzolomo, inside, walked him, tie ball game. Logan Morrison works a walk, picks up his 12th RBI, and we got a 4-4 game.
That was a great AB. He was 0-2, fought all the way back to draw the bases loaded, walk to tie it. Darren O'Day had only issued one walk on the season coming in. Lomo gets the walk there to tie it, but that more chances go by the wayside. They can only push one across in the seventh. They had bases loaded a couple of times in a row, couldn't do anything about it, and then Baltimore makes them pay.
The pitch, swing and a line drive up the middle to the center field. Hardy to third, he's being waved in. Up with the ball, Ruggiano. The throw to the plate to Castillo, not in time. Head first slide by Chris Davis. He scores, and the Orioles have the lead 5-4 here in the bottom of the eighth inning on a base hit to center by J.J. Hardy.
3-for-15 with runners in scoring position, and that's the number to hold on to from this one as lots of opportunities go by the wayside. Lots of runners left aboard. 13 left on base for the Mariners in the game. They got plenty of opportunities. They got plenty of men aboard. I mean, Miller a couple of hits. Cano a couple of hits. Cruz a hit. Walked twice. Seager a couple of hits in his short time in the ballgame. Castillo his first one as well. Taylor had a hit. He walked a couple of times. I mean, base runners all over the place, which Lloyd McLennan has talked about. Obviously, that's the good part of it. The next part is driving them in. And runners in scoring position, that's what's to watch moving forward for this team offensively. You look at the numbers, and they're towards the bottom of baseball, hitting with runners in scoring position. Right now, batting .220 as a team, that's 26th in the game, but they've driven in the least amount of runs with runners in scoring position at 89. And you saw the direct contrast with Baltimore, right now second in baseball, batting .303 with runners in scoring position. I expect that number to come up, but the quicker the better for the M's. Just batting .220 right now with runners in scoring position. And we'll see if they can start turning that around against the Blue Jays this weekend. And it's going to start today. Felix Hernandez, as the Mariners lose the series against Baltimore, they'll try and win this series against Toronto. No better guy to turn to than the King, Felix Hernandez, in Game 1. 4:07 first pitch. We'll take the air at 3 o'clock on the pregame show. Felix, 6-1, 2.30 ERA against Marco Estrada, who just recently moved into the rotation. The former Brewer is 1-2 with a 3.55 ERA. Something to watch for Felix in this one in terms of history. He is closing in on, which I think is pretty remarkable, he's closing in on Catfish Hunter, Hall of Famer Catfish Hunter, on the all-time strikeout list. Felix right now sitting with 2,006. He's just six away from Hall of Famer Catfish Hunter, which I think is incredible. Felix still at age just 29. And it's amazing when you look at who Felix is likely to pass this year on the all-time strikeout list. And I think it's just another one of those illustrations of the kind of career that Felix is putting together. At age 29, he is passing guys who had outstanding careers. I mean, he is just 8 strikeouts away from Oral Hershiser, who was excellent. He had an excellent career. He is closing in on Dazzy Vance, who's a Hall of Famer. He's going to pass Fernando Valenzuela this year. He's closing in on a guy like Dennis Martinez, El Presidente, who had an outstanding long career in the big leagues. He pitched 23 years in the big leagues, including a brief time with the Seattle Mariners. But Dennis Martinez had an outstanding career, and there's a good chance Felix Hernandez is going to pass him on the all-time strikeout list. And again, I just think it illustrates what Felix Hernandez is doing all at age 29. I mean, he's closing in on Tim Wakefield, on Vita Blue. I mean, those are the names. He's not that far away from Jim Palmer. He probably won't get him this year, but there's a good chance he'll get him next year at age 30. Hall of Famer Jim Palmer. Incredible stuff from the King, Felix Hernandez. And he's returning to Toronto. And we all know what happened last September in Toronto. Maybe a little payback on the mind of the King. Remember, he only lasted 4 2/3 against the Blue Jays in his second-to-last start. Gave up 4 earned, but 8 runs total during that really excruciating series against Toronto when the Mariners were trying to grab that final playoff slot. And they lost that ball game 14-6 with Felix on the hill. Of course, he came back and pitched real well the last day of the season against the Angels, went 5 1/3, but then halfway through the game, the Mariners eliminated from postseason contention. So we'll see if that's on the mind of the King as he takes the hill against the Blue Jays. He's also looking to bounce back after what was his toughest start of the season. That came against the Boston Red Sox the last time out. He ends up going 6 innings, gave up a season-high 4 earned. He tweaked his ankle in the 6th inning, ended up walking 3 guys in the inning. So that's a situation to keep an eye on. Although all indications is he's completely healthy, didn't miss any of his side work or anything coming into this start. And he tries to get the Mariners off and running here in this 3-game series to the Toronto Blue Jays. So we've talked a lot about Aránez Elias for good reason. He was outstanding. What is the pitching coach Rick Waits think of Elias? What's been his key so far? Here's Shannon Dreher with Rick Waits. Always great to hear him talk about pitching.
Rick, we really want to talk about what we saw from Aránez Elias last night. Not only did we see a very strong performance, but I think we saw an improved pitch from him. He was using that changeup quite a bit, and it looked a little different from what we've seen with that pitch.
You know, and I think that just comes from his very hard work this year of being more consistent with his delivery. You know, he's got a nice delivery when he does it right, but he has a tendency to get out of it with that front shoulder. His tempo gets upbeat or too slow, too fast, and he's really been working hard since he got here from AAA at the start of the season. And of just trying to be real consistent, especially in his finish. And I think what you find out is he has pitches that he's commanding better, and the changeup showed up in the last few games like that.
It's funny because when I think of Elias from last year, I remember the fastball had a little bit more velocity, but he hasn't had that as much. He said he's taken a little bit off of that. The command's better, but he's also managed to take a little bit off of the changeup. And he said, I'm just trusting the grip and letting it work.
Yeah, I think he's trying not to overthrow. You know, he's a very passionate, emotional type of pitcher. And so I love that in a pitcher because, therefore, you're in the game. You go with the flow of the game. And so I think he's controlling the emotions better. He's really focusing from pitch to pitch. One thing we've really been working on, not only his bullpens, but in his throwing program, that every pitch counts. And don't take a vacation on any pitch. He's really taken to that. And I know even Fernando Rodney has been talking to him a lot in the outfield. They've been playing catch together a little bit this season about, you know, staying consistent, staying focused, and it's paying off.
Elias has got a year in and then some, which obviously gives him a little bit of a, a leg up. And, you know, we've seen Walker have some struggles. We've seen him have some good performances. What do you want to see from him right now?
Well, I think we want to see the type of pitcher that he is. And he's a power pitcher, and we need for him to just be very aggressive on every pitch. And I think he's just in and out of that a little bit. I think he's still finding his way of what type of pitcher he is. He knows it. He's been told it, and it's just, you know, going out there and doing it each time. I think we're going to start seeing that. There's no doubt about that. I think the other, his last game wasn't up to what he expected out of himself. And, you know, even today on a rainy day, he's out there running in the rain, which just tells you that, you know, he's serious about getting ready for that Sunday start.
Can you explain, because I've thought this too, and I'm not sure I can put it into the right words, what finding out what kind of pitcher he is, what that means for you?
Well, you know, when you look at our five starters, you're going to see different effort levels, smooth delivery, more violent deliveries, faster delivery, slower deliveries, but it's more of the approach of the pitches you use. To me, Walker is a guy who should use his fastball a lot, but he should be, you know, not max effort, but very, very aggressive and very intimidating. And when he's pitched his two best games this year, that's what you've seen in the Houston game and the San Diego game.
What's the part of intimidation for him?
Well, he's a big figure on the mound. You know, he's a huge guy out there, and that hitter, it comes to the plate. And when this guy is winding up and really letting it come right after you on both sides of the plate, up and down, in and out, it can be intimidating. He's still got to make pitches, but he's not going to be the kind of guy that's just, you know, hits the corners and sinks it and changeups and things like that. But I think as he continues to get aggressive with his fastball, all the other pitchers are going to fall in line great.
Lastly, you're the pitching coach, but you have to worry about catchers too. There's a new one today. You got Happ on the hill throwing to a guy he's never thrown before. What do you want to see from the catcher?
I'm excited to see him. I have friends that have been with him before, have coached him before. They said he's a terrific guy, a real thinker behind the plate, good thrower, blocks balls, can lead a staff. So I'm excited for him to come in and take this fine staff that we have and even help us more.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And yesterday we saw Wellington Castillo for the first time in a Mariners uniform, picked up his first hit, his first ribby, and here he is with Shannon Dreher.
Wellington, this has got to be the last 24 hours. Have probably been pretty crazy for you, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's been a little bit hard, a long day too, so, you know, a lot of information that I got to get to, but, you know, that's what I'm here for, to get to know all my teammates and get my mind right and win games. That's all I care.
You got here quickly. That's always a good thing. You received the news. You've been a Cub for life. That probably took a second to adjust to.
You know, it's a little bit hard to live. A lot of memories in there and a lot of good teammates, a lot of good person that they helped me out. But, you know, I appreciate all that they did for me. I wish him the best. I'm a Mariner now, and I hope to play against him in October. You know, that's all I care. I care about win now. I'm a Mariners here, so I'm going to do all they take to win games and go to the postseason and World Series.
That's fantastic. That happens before. I don't think you've even put on the jersey yet, have you?
No, not yet. Not yet, but that's the way that I think, and that's the way that I can compete.
Yeah. You walk into the clubhouse. What's that like? Who do you see?
No, I see a lot of new guys, but a lot of guys that I know, like Roby, like Nelson, almost all the Latin guys, and I know Rugiano, I know Morrison too. You know, play against him. You know, but you know, it's always good being around guys like Cano, Cruz, and those guys. You know, I know this is a new experience for me and the new stuff to adjust to everything, but I'm available to do anything you stay. To adapt myself to this team the faster that I can to win games.
Everybody knows Robbins. How do you personally know him?
Play against him, win a ball. You know, I hear a lot of good things about him, you know, and that's a superstar, you know. So I'm really lucky to play with him now and be in the same clubhouse and in the same game, you know, because he's a great player. You know, everybody wants to play with the great, great players.
Yeah. There's one right there.
Yeah, he's good. He's the best, though.
That's Nelson Cruz. We've had a lot of fun watching him. He also mentioned Logan Morrison, and I have to laugh because you played against him, and what I'm thinking is he's come up to the plate and talked before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, all those guys, when we play each other against, against each other. They come to the play and, hey, how family, how you doing, bro? Like, you know, have a good game and stuff like that. But, you know, at the same time we compete each other, we want to win a ball game. So, you know, I respect everybody, and I hope to get quick. I mean, get used to this quick and win games. That's all I care about.
You got a lot on your plate. New league, new team, and the first thing that is up is you catch J-Hap tomorrow. How do you get ready for that?
You know, I'm going to talk to him to be on the same page. I want to watch video. I want to see what they're doing, what the guy's doing. And, you know, we're going to go from there. You know, he's a veteran guy. He knows what he's doing, too. And I think he's going to make my game easy, my game calling easy. And I hope that we can win some games.
Absolutely. Lastly, we're going to get to know you. You're here for a long time. But tell us a little something about Wellington Castillo off the field.
I'm a nice guy, Christian. Mary, I have a little guy with 3 years old. You know, what can I say? I'm really good guy. I'm happy. You know, I like to enjoy what I do. You know, and that's what I'm gonna do. This is a game, and I'm gonna enjoy playing the game.
We hope you and your family enjoy Seattle as well. Thank you, Wellington.
Thank you.
And finally, this is something I meant to get to while Boston was in town, but I think it's still relevant because I love the story. I love the mindset, especially from guys out of the bullpen going into a series, knowing who they're most likely going to see. And I think Charlie Furbush, David Ortiz, he knows he's going to meet him at some point, maybe a couple times in a 3-4-game series. But also, I love the ideas of how guys change themselves over the years, adding pitches, that sort of things, and how it comes about. And this one is one of the better stories, I think. So here's Aaron Goldsmith with Charlie Furbush.
Well, Charlie, last night, you versus David Ortiz, we saw that matchup coming up, especially as that game progressed and he was on deck. Is that the type of situation where when a series, in this case, say, against the Red Sox happens, you just kind of know that at some point in the four games you will be facing David Ortiz in a situation like that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, going into this series or really going into any series, you know, there's a good chance I'm going to face the left-handed hitter, the big left-handed hitter on their team. So last night I saw it coming and was ready to go.
And you faced Ortiz a number of times over the course of your career. You've won the matchups more times than you have lost. What's that like facing off against one of the best DHs to ever play the game?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think about it too much. I try to just kind of get in my own zone and execute my pitches instead of trying to worry about who's at the plate and what he can do. So I think he should be worried about me, right?
No. We'll go ask him after we're done here.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but it's definitely one of those things where, you know, it's cool, special, but, you know, it's all part of trying to get a win that night. So I'm happy that, you know, I have that role, and hopefully we get another win tonight.
Is there anything, any added extra emotions for you? You're a proud Mainer. You come from the heart of Red Sox country in New England. Any extra emotions when you play against the Red Sox, even if it's here in Seattle?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I try not to think about it because I know that all my friends and family are watching. So, you know, it's definitely nice to have that support and hear all the – listen to read all the text messages after the game. But, yeah, no, it's I grew up a Red Sox fan, and, you know, obviously there's a lot of history there. And to be able to be in a position where now I'm pitching against them and, you know, getting guys like David Ortiz out is a pretty cool thing.
One reason why you're so effective against a left-handed hitter like Ortiz is because of that nasty slider of yours. And I know you've told this story in years past, but the evolution of how the slider was born for you is a really fascinating story, and it's one that was born on your couch. Can you take us through how this came about for you?
Yeah, it was back, I don't know, I guess it was 2010 when Phillies were in the playoffs. Cliff Lee was pitching. You know, I was a starter at the time, and I was a fastball, curveball, changeup guy, and I was looking for something else, a new pitch or just a new creative edge, I guess, and I saw him throwing a cutter, and I was like, man, it seems like everyone gets everyone out on cutters. Cutter seems to be the pitch. That's like the new pitch these days. Everyone throws them, and they're hard to hit, and they're at least to square up. And so I started messing around with the grip, started throwing a cutter, and I don't know, I just didn't really have as much speed and break that I was looking for. It was like, you know, if it had the speed, didn't have the break. If it had the break, didn't have the speed. And I just figured that, all right, let's just try to see how much action I can create with this grip, see how much depth I can create on the ball. And eventually it just started feeling really, really good out of my hand, and, you know, eventually turned into this slider that I have. So What do you know? I can make things happen on my couch.
Charlie, it's always great to catch up with you. I've spied David Ortiz. He's actually cowering in the corner of the dugout just with your presence here on the on-deck circle. So fine work last night, and fine work here as always. You're pretty good with the microphone.
Well, thank you. I take pride in what I do, so as long as people are laughing and listening, that's good with me.
Producer-engineer Kevin Kremen here with your guide to producing enjoyment at Safeco Field. 90s Fireworks Night is Friday, May 29th, against the Indians at 7:10. When it comes to fireworks, let the colors wash over you, and there will be many. And feel free to get nostalgic. The 90s were fun. Kaboom Town. Speaking of Kaboom Town, get ready for more enjoyment on Saturday, May 30th at 7:10, because it's Nelson Cruz Bat Night for all kids 14 and under. Like I said, Kaboom Town. Tickets at Mariners.com. Mariners Baseball, true to the blue.